General Kenobi! You are the bold one.
Hello there.
Hello there. Welcome to episode 4 of Hello There, a Star Wars podcast, your weekly show for all things Star Wars. My name is Anthony Palm, and with me, as always, my good friend Nate Hicks. We got an exciting episode lined up for you today. We're going to be talking a bit about The Last Jedi and how it kind of harkens back to Force Awakens. We're actually going to be talking a lot more about Force Awakens, rather. But see if there's any comparisons or anything we can kind of dig up from Force Awakens to tie into it. Before we do that, though, our first segment's actually going to be about something a little more laid back. But before we get started, how's it going, Nate? How's your week been?
Oh, it's going good. I don't know about you, but I've celebrated a little bit of May the 4th today. It's a nice big holiday in the Star Wars community.
Yeah, my wife and I just bought our cats a bunch of Star Wars toys. They were on sale at Petco today, so we bought them like a whole crap ton of toys. We bought them. There's a little BB-8 on like a little stick, like it's a little like a little stuffed BB-8, and then it has like a little stick with a rope on it. So we got that for them, and they got a bunch of other toys. So they've been enjoying that. So it's been a good May the 4th in the Palm House.
I actually started my May the 4th with doing what you suggested, and I started Rebels this morning.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
So how many episodes in did you get?
Just one. For my other podcast, I gotta kind of finish up playing Far Cry 5. So I had a little bit of extra time, so I decided to try and knock my way through that. But episode one hit me a lot more than I thought it would. Like, from that first episode, I was like, this is really good.
You know? So the thing that I wish I knew going into Rebels, because I jumped into it later too. Like, I jumped into it after season 3 had been completed, which there's 4 seasons. So I was like, they announced that season 4 was the final season, and I'm like, all right, I gotta get caught up before season 4 starts. And the thing I wish I knew, and I'm gonna tell you, this is the story of Ezra Bridger, and it's the story of Lothal. And I thought it was gonna go a lot more grand than that. And once I kind of accepted that, I had a lot more appreciation for the show. So just kind of keep that in mind in the back of your head. Like, I, for some reason, always thought it was going to go way bigger in scope than it ever actually did. And knowing, like, kind of accepting that, it's like, now I look back and I'm like, yeah, that was kind of the theme of the show, is about Ezra and his home. But I love Rebels. I'm so excited that you're watching it. I can't wait to talk more about it in the coming weeks. I binged through it pretty fast, so I'm assuming you can probably get through it relatively quickly. I mean, I'm not expecting you to be done in a week, but
yeah,
I am excited.
I was gonna say, the only thing that's on my table is just finish it up Far Cry 5, and then after that my slate's pretty clean. I just gotta pack and make my way through that. So
yeah, what's better to have on TV while you're packing but Star Wars?
Right,
Rebels,
right?
And once you're caught up on that, then we can really start getting hyped for Star Wars Resistance, which is debuting in the fall. I'm pretty sure it's debuting in the fall, right? So, I mean, it's just crazy. They move so fast with the Lucasfilm animations. It's so crazy. But what I did want to bring up today, which will be segment one for the show, is I popped on Star Wars Racer Revenge on PlayStation 4 the other day. I had no idea what I wanted to play. I was in one of those moods where I'm jumping through a bunch of games, didn't want to play anything. Saw there was a May the 4th week sale on PSN. It was like $12. You get Star Wars Racer Revenge, Star Wars Bounty Hunter, which is the Jango Fett game, and Star Wars Jedi Starfighter. And I'm like, whatever, I'll just grab it. And then I also bought, it was $1.50. Couldn't pass it up for $1.50. It was the Star Wars Rebels Zen pinball table. So I was like, for $1.50, I'll buy a little pinball table to screw around with. But Racer Revenge, man, it's like, it brings back so many memories of what A, what video games used to be, and B, what movie tie-in games used to be, especially Star Wars games specifically. And I never actually played Racer Revenge itself. It was a PS2 game. It was actually, I think it, I don't know if it's technically a sequel or just a spiritual successor to the N64 game Star Wars Racer. But it's, you know, it's a pod racing game. It stars, you know, all, you know, your cast of pod racers that you'd expect. Anakin is in, it was little Anakin in the first Racer. And then in the second one, it's Hayden Christensen era, Attack of the Clones era Anakin. Odie Mandrell is in it. You know, all the guys, Gascano is in it. Of course, Sebulba is in it. But it's pretty cool. Who's the guy I was telling you? He's got the guy with the pit droids. Why can't I think of him?
I'm looking it up right now. Hold on. Because you
Ben Quadaneros. Ben Quadaneros. Okay. I want to do a tournament with just Ben Quadaneros, because every single race that I've been in, or like, not everyone, the first couple I was in, I KO'd Ben Quadaneros. It's just so funny, because he's the one that explodes, and like his engines explode, and he just is sitting in his pod in like at the start line. It's so funny. But what I didn't realize is Star Wars Racer Revenge has a storyline to it, which, like, not really, but there's like a crawl in the beginning of like when you start the game up. And apparently there's this whole, like, and it's not canon anymore, if it ever even was canon, but it's especially not canon now with the legend stuff. But there was this, like, a story of, like, Sebulba went missing for, like, years and years after he lost in Mos Espa to Anakin. And he just reappears one day with, like, a gang of guys, and he's like, he wants to take Anakin down, and it's like Anakin, like braid short hair era Anakin. It's like, it was very weird. Like, I'm reading the crawl as the game is booting up, and I'm like, I had no idea that this was even a thing back then. So I thought that was pretty entertaining. So my question for you is, what's your history with Star Wars video games, and what's your favorite?
Well, I'm looking at a list right now. Looking at this list, it makes me just miss how many Star Wars games we used to get kind of on average. I mean, we had, especially in the PS2 GameCube generation, we had a lot of just games that were kind of popped out, and most of them were good. The ones I played the most whenever I was younger was the Rogue Squadron games, which are probably still my all-time favorite Star Wars games.
Great games. Great games.
I loved the original Battlefront 1 and 2.
Yep.
Those, agreed. Those I played religiously. Did you ever play the Clone Wars game?
I did not. No, I did not.
The Clone
Wars
game.
Was any
good? The Clone
Wars
game.
Is that the Republic Commando?
No, this one was called specifically Clone Wars. I think it mostly took place on the Geonosis parts, because that's the only ones I remember playing. But it was basically like tank combat and ship combat and things like that. But funny enough, some of my favorites besides that were actually the Lego Star Wars games. I loved replaying those and 100%ing those on the PS2. And it's hard to say which one's my favorite, because everyone I've played, I've always loved. But, you know, one of the easier answers would be definitely Force Unleashed. Force Unleashed is pretty high up there, because that's just an outstanding game.
Force Unleashed 2 is so good as well. Okay, the thing with Force Unleashed 2 is, I know it was very, very short. You could beat it in like 4 hours, if that. But it felt like playing a movie. Like, the game looked so good. Like, the cutscenes looked so good. It looked like it was really Sam Witwer, who is the main character. And I love Sam Witwer, too, so I'm biased towards Force Unleashed as it is. But it felt like playing a Star Wars movie with Force Unleashed 2. It was just so cool. And I kind of like that it was shorter, too, because you can kind of beat it in one or two sittings. Just for fun, you know?
Well, I had a... When I first played The Force Unleashed, the first one, I played it on the Wii.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then I played the main console version later. I think it was the 360 version. And I was shocked at how different it was. First off, it looked completely different. But the Wii version actually had a... The Wii version actually had a different mechanic than the PS3, Xbox 360 version did. One of the collectibles you could pick up was different lightsaber hilts. Because you can use the Wiimote to, like, you know, uses a lightsaber, you could pick up like just different ones. That. Yeah. And so I went to go look for that in the main game, and I couldn't find it. All I could find was the crystals. But I would say it'd be either the Force Unleashed or the Rogue Squadron series. I play the Rogue Squadron series religiously.
I remember playing them a lot, but I don't know if I ever owned them. Like, I think I either had a demo disc for one of them, or I played them at someone's. I don't remember. I remember playing them a lot, but I never owned them, I don't think. I remember doing the Hoth scene where you do the tow cable around the AT-AT.
Yeah, that was, I think, Rogue Squadron 3, Rebel Strike. That's the one I know I owned, but the one that was on the N64, I think it was the original. Yeah, just Rogue Squadron. I played at a school I went to when I lived in California, had this like little rec area, and they had an N64 and they had Rogue Squadron. I used to just go over there and just play that all the time. And my teachers would be like, "Where's he at?" And he'd be like, "Oh, he's over there playing the 64. So
I do remember, I don't remember which one it was, but I do remember piloting Luke's T-16 Skyhopper on Tatooine. The one where he's like, "Oh, I used to bullseye womp rats."
That was definitely a Rogue Squadron game. I can't tell you which one it is. I want to say that was actually the first one.
Might have been the first one. I feel like it was on N64, so it might. Yeah. I think it was the first one. Because I remember one of them was on GameCube, and that one was really good. I remember I had that on a demo disc. It wasn't the full game.
Man. And even the Star Wars games are
so good, though, man. Yeah, I remember playing the crap out of the Phantom Menace PS1 game with my little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't very good at it. My brother was like, I was like 9 years old, which means my brother was 4 or 5. So we weren't really good at it. Like, I was better than him just because I was older, but even I wasn't that good at it. It was just fun, though. It was like, and I'm sure they're terrible games, like, as, like, you know, just in a vacuum, like, as a game right now, but it'd be curious to go back and just kind of, like, kind of mess around with it, just see how it is going back to it in 2018.
Yeah, I played the crap out of the Revenge of the Sith one, and I think that one may still hold up, but that was 2005 when I played it, so there's absolutely no telling.
Revenge of the Sith, that's the one where you were able to have the battles on Mustafar as, like, whatever character you wanted?
I think so. I remember playing the Utapau mission a lot.
Man, Revenge of the Sith is just so good, just in general. So, yeah, so if you're listening and you have a favorite Star Wars game, let us know what your favorite is. I would probably say mine is the N64 Star Wars Racer, just because it's the one I probably have the most memories with. I used to play it so much, man. Like, so much. Like, it's crazy. Like, I could probably remember exactly how the Mos Espa race was laid out.
Oh, that arcade cabinet, too. Remember that big one that they used to have in the arcades?
Oh, yeah. Where you actually sit in the pod. Like, it's shaped like Anakin's pod, like the seat. Yeah. Man, those were the days. Now it's like, I know, EA, man, is just... Ugh. Like, EA was the worst publisher to give the Star Wars license to. Ugh.
Yeah, I really... We'll see, not out of spite, not because I'm just an angry video gamer. I really hope that they do take that away from them, or...
To give someone else a chance, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I think...
Just to give someone else a chance.
Yeah.
Because Star Wars Battlefront 1, like, the recent ones, was it 2015 it launched? Or 2016?
Yes, 2015. No, it was 2015.
15 and then 8. And then 15 and then 17. Yeah, the first one was really... I really loved it. Like, I know there wasn't a campaign. I didn't play Battlefront back in the day for the campaign.
Exactly.
I played it to make my own battles and stuff. You know what I mean? And so when people were so angry that there wasn't a campaign, I was like, do you not, like, you don't understand... Like, it's these people that just want a Star Wars game in general, but it's like, you're not understanding, like, what this game was back then. And so that's why I would get really frustrated with people that would, like... talk negatively about the first of the newer Battlefronts because it didn't have a campaign. But it's like, that's never what Battlefront was. Not to me. I remember playing like 100v100, you know, like, I'm the CIS. I gotta take down all the clone troopers, or, you know what I mean? Like, that's always what Battlefront was to me. And they would have like, make your own story where it's just, you just line up a bunch of missions in a row, but it wasn't like a story. Yeah. So it was very weird. And then Battlefront 2's campaign, it was good. I'd say it's, oh, you know, it's okay, it's good. I thought the acting in it was very, you know, was excellent, but the design of it was okay. It was kind of short. There was a lot of force-fed kind of, like, have to make sure you have a hero mission in the middle of what was her name? What's she's Janina.
Iden Verso.
Iden Versio. That's what, yeah. So, like, in the, like, Iden Versio, Iden would be, like, in the middle of a major mission, and then out of nowhere, it's like, oh, gotta do this mission with Lando, or gotta do this mission with Leia. And the Leia mission was not good either, by the way. But.
Well, see, that's the problem with the whole EA thing, is because there was so much vitriol and so much backlash and so much bad press on this game. I played the first 2 hours of the campaign. Like, I got to the part where you're on Endor, like, after the Death Star blew up, and that was when I first got the game, and I haven't gone back since. Like, I feel like I just can't touch that game because it's just...
Well, the multiplayer... The game itself feels different. It feels like it's on a different engine. Like I played Battlefront 2 and then went back and played Battlefront 1. And it just feels like a different game. It, like, I can agree with control that. Wise, look wise, it just feels different. And I don't know what happened, because it's the same people working on it. It's like almost like a different studio worked on it. So, but to be honest, I would rather go back and play Battlefront 1 than play Battlefront 2 multiplayer.
Yeah,
it's just personally that's my decision. But we'll see. We do have a Star Wars game in the pipeline by Respawn Studios is working on that, right?
Yes.
Because there Visceral was a game by there was a game by Visceral, which was the studio that made the games Dead Space 1-3, and then Amy Hennig, who was a writer and a lead for Uncharted 1 and 2 for PlayStation, that was in the works, and then Visceral got shut down. I think they had production issues, and I think they're reworking it. So, did you ever get into the Old Republic, the MMO,
the most recent BioWare one?
It's like the World of Warcraft equivalent. I never got into it either.
I had an interest in it, but at the time I really didn't have a PC that was up and running, and
same.
And even then I was like,
I had a Mac, so I couldn't play it on Mac, so
yeah.
But I do want to go back and replay KOTOR 1, Knights of the Old Republic 1, even though I know it's non-canon, but I do still want to go back and play it. It's backwards compatible on Xbox One now, so considering
it. Maybe when I get another Xbox.
It's finding the time is the issue. I want to find the time for it. It is on iPad, but I just don't know if I want to experience it there.
I don't
want to
sit down and
play.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to sit down and play a big
experience
like that.
My iPad is for like Hearthstone and like Facebook. So we'll see. So again, let us know what your favorite Star Wars games are. If you have any fun memories with any Star Wars games, you can write into us. You can write into us at HelloTherePodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at HelloTherePod. So segment two, we're going to be getting into The Force Awakens. We're going to see if we can kind of connect anything from Force Awakens to The Last Jedi. We're going to talk a little bit about any kind of missing, kind of like anything that was brought up in Force Awakens that wasn't addressed in Last Jedi. That's kind of what I want to talk about, is all the stuff that we're like, what does this mean? And it's just kind of hanging like a loose thread from Force Awakens. So why don't you kick it off? Because you actually have been rewatching Force Awakens and the bonus content lately, which I did not get a chance to rewatch them relatively recently. So why don't you kick it off? Jog my memory.
Okay. Well, the only bonus content I really watched was the behind the scenes documentary, which is about an hour long. And I'm glad I watched that before watching The Force Awakens again, because especially after watching The Last Jedi and rewatching it, it felt like The Last Jedi was a better movie, and The Force Awakens just felt like this big sequel blockbuster Star Wars movie. But going back and watching the behind the scenes for The Force Awakens, you can see how much JJ loves this property. And it details how much care and attention was put into this movie. Like, for example, you know, all the stuff with the Millennium Falcon. Their set designer sat down and looked at every single picture ever taken of the Millennium Falcon and built their version to replica of everything that they saw. And the best example I have for... let me find it in my notes. The best example I have for the amount of care that was put into it, in that same part, they're talking about... I lost it. Give me 1 second. It's here. Hold on. Where'd it go? Basically, what was super cool was... here it is. In the scene where Finn accidentally turns on the hollow chess game when he's sitting on the Falcon, in A New Hope, they're playing the game C-3PO and Chewbacca, and then they turn the game off. When Finn turns the holo game back on, it's on that exact frame that it ended in A New Hope. And so it's like finishing his move.
That's interesting. That's probably something that I probably like noticed subliminally, but never actually like thought about. So that's cool. That's a cool little touch. I love little stuff like that.
Yeah. But it going back into it, I was like, okay, no, this isn't just like a cheap, like narcissistic way of looking at it. Oh, it's just a sequel, or it's just a take on A New Hope, like a lot of people like to say.
Well, even like when Finn is rummaging through the bag and he finds the training drone, you know?
Yeah.
Like just little, like subtle stuff like that. Like I love that.
So something I thought was super interesting in the behind the scenes when they show the scenes where Harrison Ford was back on the Falcon and was like looking around, you can see in the behind the scenes, it shows him hanging up those gold dice that are a big part of The Last Jedi. But you don't see that in the main cut of the movie, which I thought was super interesting. So,
which we are going to see again in Solo, A Star Wars Story. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Those dice are hanging real right up front and center in that, that little speeder that he has.
But going back and watching it, I feel like, and I don't know about you, I personally feel like as a whole from start to finish, I like The Force Awakens better as a movie, but I feel like The Last Jedi has a bigger impact and is more important in the overall universe.
I would agree with that as well. I think that Force Awakens has a start, a middle, and an end.
Yeah.
The Last Jedi, not that it doesn't have a start, middle, and end, because it does, but it feels kind of like, oh, we're like hurried into this situation that just kind of started from the end of the last movie, and then all of a sudden we're on the run, and we're on the run for the whole movie. It doesn't really slow down at all.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it happens within like 2 days, like in universe. It feels like it's like 2 days, which I know it's like, I think it's like a week, right? Or it's I'm not clear on the, because I remember they brought it up when they mentioned how much fuel they had left, but I don't remember exactly how many days it was. It feels like it was in like maybe 1 or 2 days though, like I said, but someone can call me out if I'm wrong on that. I'm sure I'm wrong on that. But it does feel like it happens very, very fast. And then the ending, it's like, it's just a gut punch after we had already spent so much time kind of feeling like, even it makes the viewer almost feel like you're on the run too. Like we're just rushing to get to the end. Whereas Force Awakens, like I said, it's paced very well, but it does feel kind of more like
a traditional Star Wars movie.
This is going to sound negative, but I just don't know how else to say it. Force Awakens is almost like eye candy with less substance, whereas The Last Jedi is kind of dirtier and grittier and has a lot more to kind of unpack and bite off to, you know, you know, like chew on.
Yeah, I can.
Which
I
love Force Awakens, but it does seem very like. Force Awakens feels like a really shallow, wide pool, and Last Jedi feels like a really deep, like 4 square foot pool. Like I don't know how to explain it better than that. I don't know, but does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, it makes that's kind of a more detailed thing of what I said earlier, was that I like The Force Awakens better as a whole movie from start to finish, but The Last
it's a complete movie in comparison to The Last Jedi. It just feels like that, like I get the sense that Force Awakens, it just was a very broad movie, you know, whereas Last Jedi, it makes you think a lot.
Yeah.
With the exception of Canto Bight, but that's we've talked about Canto Bight plenty.
One thing that
I
was gonna say a couple things, especially after watching The Last Jedi, seeing Kylo Ren's motivations in The Force Awakens to find Luke are definitely more apparent. Like you can see why he's wanting to find him so bad, which I thought was interesting. And also in one of the first scenes with Hux, Snoke, and Kylo, Snoke himself calls Luke the Last Jedi. So that whole like 6 months where we were like, who's the Last Jedi? Who's the Last Jedi? It was like, well, you could go back and watch The Force Awakens and he says the Last Jedi.
It's like a giant, like,
yeah,
like just a giant wink. Yeah, I still want to know who Lor San Tekka is. You know, like,
yeah,
are we ever going to find out who that is? Or is he going to be like a Rick Ollie kind of character? Or it's like, we made a big deal about him and it's a big, I mean, Rick Ollie's actor wasn't a big name actor, I don't think. No offense to him. He's not Max von Sydow, you know? Yeah. But like, it was a big deal. Like, Max von Sydow is in Star Wars. Who's he playing? And like, just a pilgrim, I guess. I don't know. Like, he had a connection to Kylo Ren when he was Ben Solo. You know, like, Kylo says, like, look how old you've become, and he says something far worse has happened to you. Clearly, they have history together.
Yeah.
So, like, why did he have the map to Skywalker? Why was there a map in the first place? Did Luke accidentally leave a map? You know what I mean? Like, did Luke go part of the way with R2, and then he left R2? Like, I want to know kind of what happened with that. And I don't necessarily know if I need that explained in Episode 9, but I do want to explain maybe in Resistance or maybe in a comic or a novelization or something. I do want to know the story behind that. Yeah. And I do understand, like, maybe there's not enough time in Episode 9 to explain it, but you can do it in a novelization or a comic or I think Resistance might give us a lot of information that we're looking for, because it's in that time period right before Force Awakens. So, I mean, I'm assuming Rey is definitely not in the show. I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, it's confirmed Oscar Isaac's in it, and it's confirmed that, Gwendolyn Christie will be in it, who is Phasma. So I'm interested to see where it goes and how, like, if there's any kind of precursors to Force Awakens.
Yeah. So with Rey, I have a lot of issues and a lot of questions, especially after this. I think that was my fifth time watching The Force Awakens the other day. One of them is, why is she so powerful? And I don't know if I want to take the answer of she may, like we talked about last episode, of there's a possibility she may be this
new version of the Force or something. Like the new, essentially a reincarnation of Anakin's.
Yeah.
Like what he was intended to be.
Yeah, and I mean, comparing it very minutely to that first episode of Rebels, throughout that very first episode, I guess, spoilers for the first episode of Rebels, I always want to be cautious when I'm talking about stuff like this. You can tell, especially with the sound design of the show, you can tell that there's like moments where he like senses things. He's like, well, that's weird. Wait, what's that about?
Who, Ezra? And,
yeah. And, you know, that's kind of it. But with Rey, it's like, a lot of like prime example of her resisting Kylo's force manipulation. It's like,
that's the thing, is I feel like JJ might have been like laying the groundwork for Rey secretly had been trained before and she lost her memory, or she was related to someone that was significantly powerful in the Force, and then Rian Johnson went nowhere with that. He chose to make her have, you know, she was a nobody. That was her origin. I do feel like that part of that may have been JJ potentially setting up something, and then Rian kind of going a different direction. It does feel a little bit like that, right? Because she is like super powerful compared to like, because Ezra in Rebels, he's, you know, it's pretty clear he's force sensitive really early on, but he's not the level, not even close to the level Rey was, and Rey was like that instantly. So. Yeah. Kind of curious if JJ's gonna go somewhere with that in Episode 9, or if that was just kind of setting up for something that Rian chose to go in a different direction with.
He's also setting up stuff. It seemed like that she has some sort of connection to Luke, because in that same scene where he's using the force manipulation, he's like, I see it. I see the island. You know, I see the ocean that, you know, you're looking for. And right off the top of my head, that's the only thing I can think of. It's the First Jedi Temple. Like, why is she seeing that?
Well, I think that's because she saw, and actually this is good to bring up, this ties into my next point. I think she saw it in the Force vision. I refuse to call it a Force back. I'm sorry, I refuse to call it that. But the, like, the Force,
that?
That's what people call it. I think J.J. Abrams might have called it a Force back.
That's a Force vision.
Someone called it a Force back. I refuse to call it that, even though I've said it 20 times just now. But when she, you know, when she has the interaction with Luke's lightsaber and has the vision, I think she saw it in that vision. I think that's how Kylo saw it.
Okay, I could take that.
But so, going into the Force vision, I want to know, like, okay, so we saw the Jedi Temple burning. We saw Luke, you know, put his hand on R2. you know, watching it burn down and everything. Are the Knights of Ren just never going to be brought up again? Like, is
See,
that
I
just
hope that
like
they're really in resistance, because that would make that would be perfect. You could have, you know, because how the
because it does look like Kylo is killing one of them, right? That's what it looked like in the Force Vision.
No. It's pretty clear that he's killing
just someone else.
Yeah, because they're like the bodies that are around when the camera pans out. It looks like they're wearing the same sort of armor or the same sort of uniform that that guy he killed was. No, the guy he killed wasn't wearing any sort of mask.
Okay, because to me, cause just because it's not very clear, I gotta watch it again. It looked like he was killing one of the Knights of Ren, but then all the other Knights of Ren were standing around him, so I thought it was very unclear. So I gotta go watch again. Maybe he's just killing, like one of Luke's apprentices, or maybe no one even related to that scenario. But
the question I have on the Force Vision is, why was Obi-Wan's voice along with the Force Vision?
So I have a theory on this, but it's a spoiler for the last like four episodes of Rebels.
Okay.
So let's put a pin in that.
Okay.
I want to come back to that, but I have a theory, and I think it's tied into something else. But I do have a theory on that. But it was seemingly set up as she was connected to either Obi-Wan or Luke, and that her connection to Luke was what connected her then by proxy to Obi-Wan. So you know, something along the lines of that was what it kind of seemed like. And then again, Rian Johnson chose to go in a different direction, which I think it was a stretch to say that Obi-Wan had any kind of offspring who then had another offspring. But I think that's what people were expecting, was some kind of connection to like either Obi-Wan's granddaughter or Luke's daughter or something. So I think that's, again, I don't know. It was either a red herring, or JJ, I think, was going somewhere in that direction.
Yeah, I could see that. And I actually had a question that I was going to ask, but then I figured it out myself. You know, when it shows the scenes of the temple burning, I was like, Luke didn't have that saber for almost 30 years, so why would she have that vision? But I could see that that was probably the last time that Luke was really in tune with the Force and probably shut himself off right after that.
And that's a good point.
That would make sense for Yoda and Obi-Wan to be there too, because they are both very powerful with the Force and were a big part of Luke's training in life.
What I would say is maybe Yoda and Obi-Wan were reaching through the Force to Rey, saying, hey, Luke needs your help.
Could be.
Maybe that, I mean, and that's not related to the other Rebels thing I was going to talk about, but that's maybe a different theory. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what it was, is maybe Yoda and Obi-Wan are like, oh my God, we need to get someone to go find Luke. Can we reach this girl through this object? Like, maybe it's like, maybe almost like how in real life people, there's like theories and stuff and religions and stuff that items are connected to people's spirits and stuff like that. Maybe something like that, where Obi-Wan and Yoda were able to reach out to Rey through this item connected to the Force.
Yeah. One thing I thought that stood out again on another rewatch is the sound design in this movie is fantastic. Everything they do, especially with the Force, because this is the first time you actually get to see a visual representation of someone using the Force and sound along with it. Like, I like how it had that background kind of hum anytime the Force was being used.
Yeah, like when Kylo is doing the mind like probe on both like, Poe and Rey, and it kind of has that kind of like the ground is kind of shaking. That sound design was excellent. That stood out to me in a good way, like the second I heard it when I saw it, you know, on for the first time in theaters.
I more than anything throughout this rewatch, I picked up a lot of really interesting things about Kylo. You know, going towards the end of the movie, when the fateful scene of him killing his father, you can I know in the novelization it reads that he didn't get the result that he wanted, but you can see on his face that what he thought was going to happen after that didn't happen, and you can kind of see the disappointment. And man, every time that I watch that scene and you see Chewbacca just roar, it's so heartbreaking just to think that that's Uncle Rambo, Chewbacca.
Yep, Rambo Chewie. Yep. Oh, and he shoots his nephew, basically.
Yeah.
out of like blind rage.
So
what
sad.
I love about that scene, and I want to know if you picked up on this, did you notice the colors in that scene? The way that it's lit, that when Kylo is on the right and Han is on the left, like when it's from like behind the shoulder of Han, that Han is like a blue color and Kylo is like a red. the way the lighting is, like, because it's like you're getting the light coming from outside, like where Rey and mm-hmm. Finn were, and then Kylo is standing against like the interior, so you're getting that red kind of glow. And if you pay attention as that scene goes on, the red kind of starts to seep into Han's side of the screen, and it gets darker and darker until Kylo, you know, ignites the saber. So I love that. Did you notice that?
No, but I'll when we get done with this, I'll rewatch.
Go watch it again, dude. I noticed that on the first viewing. That's probably one of my favorite moments, or one of my favorite things from a film perspective in the whole saga, is the way mm-hmm. that scene was lit. It was so brilliant to me how Han is the light side and Kylo is, or Han represents the light side of Ben Solo, maybe. Mm. And obviously the red would represent Kylo Ren. And just the way it got darker as the scene progressed, and you knew it was coming. And I, like, when I saw the movie, I knew it was coming, but I still didn't want to believe it. I was like, he's going to get out of this. And then the saber lit for the first time, and my heart dropped. I didn't know how to feel. And so the way that scene, go rewatch just that scene. I just love the way it's lit. But do you think? Go ahead. I do have a question about this scene, but we're going to move on.
Go ahead and ask that, because I have a question about Kylo. I'm going to ask you, but go ahead with your question, because I think it still pertains to what we're talking about.
Okay, and I wonder if this is where you're going to. Did you ever buy into the theory that Han is the one that lit the lightsaber? Because there's a theory that Han is the one that ignited the lightsaber to spare Kylo of having to do it.
I'm really half and half on it. I'm leaning more towards Kylo did it to hopefully rid himself of that pain that he's going through.
Kill Ben Solo, like Anakin. Yeah. Like Darth Vader killed Anakin.
Yeah. But it's a nice thought to have of, like, a what if. What if Han was the one who actually... Because, I mean, it's as far as, like, the actual physics of the universe, it's not out of the realm of possibility, because Finn, as far as we know, isn't force sensitive, and he's able to use a lightsaber, and, you know,
I hope Finn doesn't ever be force sensitive.
I hope so. I hope not either. I really don't.
And the thing is, Han Solo's wielded a lightsaber before in Empire Strikes Back. He uses it to cut the Tauntaun open. So I think people in isolated moments can use a lightsaber if they're not force sensitive. I think it's having the skill of a Jedi, you obviously need to have force sensitivity. But yeah, I think that's one of those theories that it's like the end of Inception with the totem. Does it fall? Does it not fall? I love that we might not ever get an answer for it. I love that it's that kind of theory where it's like, what if Han is the one that ignited it for Kylo? And maybe that's like how Kylo is going to come back to the light side. Like, maybe that's how he becomes back. It comes back as Ben Solo. Because if you think about it, if that's true, if it's Han that ignited the lightsaber, not Kylo. Kylo has not killed anyone of important. You know, he's killed like random people, but he hasn't. He didn't kill Luke. He tried to kill Luke, but he couldn't because it was, you know, we've talked about that. It was the force projection. If it's true, he wouldn't have killed Han, and then Leia. We're assuming Leia is going to pass away off screen, but he wouldn't have killed Leia because he did resist killing Leia in Force Away in Last Jedi. He chose not to, you know, not to blow the bridge up. So it's just interesting to me that if that's true, that's kind of the loophole to get Kylo back to being Ben Solo, which I don't know if he's redeemable at this point. Maybe we'll talk about that next week, whether or not Ben Solo could be redeemed. But I think that's an interesting theory.
My question actually kind of evolves off of that. You know, the whole Kylo meditating to Vader's helmet, do you think in essence that could be setting him up for failure? Because he sees his grandfather as this... I mean, granted, he was this dark Sith Lord, but deep down, he still was the troubled Anakin that, you know, ended up being able to be turned back.
See, that's a good... I like talking about this because there's no Snoke anymore. Snoke's gone. Snoke, you know, if he comes back, I'm done. Like, if Snoke comes back, I'm like, I don't know what to do anymore. Like, JJ, come on. So I'm curious if if Snoke was the one putting it in Ben Solo's ear of, hey, Darth Vader, he was this great Sith Lord, and wasn't and was leaving out the part of, oh yeah, but by the way, he went back to the light side and he killed the Emperor. Like, he conveniently left that out, you know. Yeah. So I wonder if Ben Solo is going to find out about that or Kylo rather. He's Kylo now at this point. But I wonder if maybe Luke's going to show up as a Force ghost and be like, hey, you know, Darth Vader ended up saving the galaxy, right? Or I wonder, and I don't think they're going to do it. I think if they were going to do it, they would have did it with The Last Jedi. But I wonder if Hayden Christensen is going to come back and be like, yo, like, I turned around. I, like, realized how evil I was, and I stopped being evil. And I don't think they're going to do that, but I do think it's interesting to think about. Especially, it's interesting because in the first movie, in Force Awakens, rather, in Episode 7, they make such a big deal about his helmet, and he's trying to be Darth Vader because of the helmet, and he slams the helmet on the ashes in that one scene where he's interrogating Rey. He slams it on the ashes, yeah. Right? Not Poe, because he's still wearing it as Poe, when he's interrogating Poe.
Correct.
And there's a big deal about the ashes are the people he's killed, and he has the burnt helmet of Darth Vader, which I still want to see how he got that in like maybe a comic or a novelization. But I wonder, like, is he still worshiping that charred up helmet in Episode 9? Because he's now all of a sudden he's about let the past die, kill it if you have to, which was not his thing at all in Episode 7. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see, like, is he still worshiping Darth Vader? Like, is he still putting his grandfather on a pedestal? Or is he now, like, fully, I'm my own person, screw the Sith, I'm just the leader of the First Order? I'm very curious to see where they go with Kylo.
I would say no, simply because in The Last Jedi, after Snoke says, take off that silly helmet or whatever he says, and then you see him in that...
take that ridiculous thing off.
Yeah, and then that next scene, you see him in the elevator, and he just smashes it, and then that's kind of when he's on his kick of, let the past die, kill it if you have to.
Great scene, by the way. Great scene. Oh, I hated that mask, so I'm glad he destroyed it. I know other people loved it. I hated that mask.
Well, that's something else that JJ did, I thought, really well, was to humanize as much as possible this villain. That this big villain that they've set for Episode 7, you know, when they were...
Well, they had to because it's Han Solo's son. If he wasn't related to anyone, then I don't think they would have had to go to the length that they did.
But, it's a good choice. I actually have another question for you because it's something I picked up at the end of The Force Awakens. When Starkiller Base is in the process of crumbling, Snoke makes a comment to Hux to get Kylo, we need to finish his training. And The Last Jedi takes place almost directly after The Force Awakens. So after now seeing both of these again, what do you think that means, complete his training?
It's a good question. Because the way The Last Jedi plays out, you would think that meant, all right, kill your mother. That's your last trial. Like, that's the last step in your training, is kill your mom. That's kind of how it plays out. But it is interesting how The Force Awakens kind of implied it was going to be actual training, like Yoda on Dagobah, like lifting rocks with your mind and stuff. And then it ends up just kind of like, oh, well, now he's getting scolded by Snoke, and now he smashed the helmet, and now he's just kind of... he has to lead the attack, you know, the strike. I don't know if it's just a matter of, in-universe, there wasn't enough time for Snoke to... train him, or if it was a metaphor for, I need to see if Kylo can do what needs to be done.
I think it's the second, because
you think so?
At that point, he's already a very skilled and powerful Force, and I guess Sith user, even though they don't use the word Sith. So what more training would he need to do, except for maybe killing his mother? So that would make sense. That would totally make sense.
I think it's probably that too. It's probably, can you do what needs to be done? Because Snoke even says to him, the decision splits you to the bone about killing Han.
Yeah.
Which he lies to Snoke and says, when the moment came, I didn't hesitate. Which, dude, come on. You hesitated.
Yeah.
You thought about it for a long time. That was a very long scene.
Yeah.
So, I agree.
So, the last thing I have that I thought was just an interesting point. You find this out in the novelization of The Last Jedi. You may have heard them talking about this on Rebel Force Radio before. But in the novelization, I remember watching The Force Awakens, like maybe before The Last Jedi came out. I was like, yeah, why was Luke just standing there wearing those ropes he was wearing at the top of the peak? I was like,
So there is an explanation for that.
Yep. The explanation is, which I guess spoilers for the novelization, basically Luke was ready to die. He had been on Octu for however long, and he decided that, you know what, I'm going to put on my ceremonial robes, Jedi robes, and I'm going to basically in... Go ahead.
He was going to burn down the Jedi Temple with him in it, I think.
Yep, I think
with,
so, like, too.
You know, with the books and everything. I think that's what it seems like it was going for, from what I heard. I didn't actually read the novelization, but from what I've heard about that kind of, the way it's explained in the book, is he was going to go burn the temple down with himself in it, and then fate, like the Force, you know, kind of wills it to not be that way. Where
So Rey basically stops him from killing himself.
And Rey appearing is kind of the Force willing Luke Skywalker to stay alive until it's his time, you know.
Which would explain the kind of puzzled look on his face a little bit more than this random person. Why are you handing me my lightsaber that I lost 30 years ago?
You know what? That scene where he chucks the lightsaber sits with me better now than it did in theaters, I think. I still don't love it. I kind of wish... something about it does feel a little nonchalant.
It makes the scene
very slapstick, you know? Yeah. But it does sit with me better now. When I first saw it, I was like, what? Like, I literally basically did that. Like, that was my reaction. I was like, what? But now when I watch it, it's kind of, the other thing too is, like, there's not a crowd laughing at it when I watch it at home, so maybe that's part of why it sits better with me, because it has more of an emotional impact versus like a hook kind of, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why it sits better with me now, but it doesn't bother me really anymore now.
Yeah, I mean, probably with you, it bothered me because, you know, you waited 2 years to see what happened after she showed him the lightsaber, and then he just goes, "Cool." It's like, what? Okay, like,
which does like kind of show where Luke's mindset is at. Again, I think for me, really, it was the fact that the crowd was laughing at it, and I wanted it to be an emotional moment. And so, when you're watching it at home, like I said, there's no crowd laughing at it because it's just you and your cat. If you're me,
yeah, that is fair. But I mean, that's pretty much all the notes that I took. Overall, I'd said last episode that watching it before watching The Last Jedi for the first time, I was like, oh, The Force Awakens did feel kind of hollow. Like, it felt just like a blockbuster movie. And going back, and especially watching the behind the scenes, it made me show a better appreciation for it. And it really is a fantastic movie. And I don't know if it ranks higher anymore after this last watch, but that'll remain to be seen.
But it does sit with you better.
It sits with me.
I might rewatch it after we get off here.
Yeah, it sits with me about the first time I watched it. Because the first time I watched it, I walked out of the theater with just a high. Like, I mean, it was like, man, this was an experience.
See, I'm kind of an outlier with Force Awakens. I walked out of The Last Jedi. I loved it. I was raving. I was like, oh my god, that's a Star Wars movie. Like, that was so good. And I was the only one, apparently. But with Force Awakens, everyone else was like, this is so good, this is amazing, screw the prequels, we don't need the prequels anymore. And I was kind of like, I have a lot of questions about this.
Yeah.
Like, I had a real lot of questions about Force Awakens. Like, and the second time, I saw it like 2 times in 3 days. I think I saw it like 4 times in theaters, but I saw it like twice in 3 days, I think. And the second time, it sat a lot better with me, but the first time, I was like, who's Maz Kanata? Why have we never heard of her before if she's 900 years old or 600 years old or whatever she was? Like, how does she know about Luke? And, like, how did she get Luke's lightsaber? Like, I had a lot of questions about Maz, and we didn't get any of those answers in Last Jedi because she was just kind of crammed in there. I'm assuming that was a contractual, like, Lupita Nyong'o needed to be in the movie, and she just didn't fit, so they threw her in. That's just speculation on my end. I don't know if that's true or not. But I had like a real lot of questions about Force Awakens, and not just like the who's Rey, like the not just the obvious ones. So it's very interesting to hear like how some people were just so raving about Force Awakens, and I didn't dislike it at all. Don't mistake that for me saying I disliked it, but I was very critical, or I had a critical kind of mindset to it. Like I was very analytic of it, I guess would be a better way to phrase it.
Yeah. I actually have a funny story about The Force Awakens. After I showed my wife Chelsea the all the Star Wars movies beforehand, you know, there was a trailer where you see Vader's helmet in the trailer. And she goes, okay, what? She's like, all right, I'll make a bet with you. What if Darth Vader is, she basically was like, what if Kylo is related to Darth Vader? And I was like, I don't really think that's going to happen. That'd be just a little too far-fetched, whatever. And so we're watching it, and it's that scene when he's meditating with the helmet, and he goes, grandfather. And she looks over at me, and I'm just like, oh, son of a bitch. Just like, how did you gather that? I didn't even, like... Now looking back, well, isn't it, that makes a lot of sense.
Isn't it revealed first that Han Solo is his father? And then that scene happens afterwards? I thought it was the scene with Snoke where Snoke is like, your father, Han Solo. And then the next scene, I thought, was him meditating with the helmet.
No, he says your father, you know, you have your, basically saying you still have, you know, parts of your father in you, but it's not, it like the meditation is before he says that the BB-8 unit is on the Millennium Falcon with his father, Han Solo. I'm almost positive.
I gotta rewatch it. I'm gonna rewatch it, maybe tonight or tomorrow.
But I was just one of those, like, how, I just showed you, I've watched this since I was
like she figured it out. And the thing is, you're too close to it. You know what I mean? She was.
That's fair.
It's like the scene in Attack of the Clones. And don't it? This is gonna sound like an insult. It's not an insult in any way at all. But it's like the scene with the children where Yoda is like, children understand it better because they don't overthink it. And I'm not calling your wife a child. You know what I mean? Like I'm not, Chelsea. I'm not like saying that. But it's like she's less attached. She's less attached to it, so she can think about it in a more broad sense. Whereas you're probably like, "Oh my God, is this like, did Obi-Wan have a relationship with this one ancillary character in Clone Wars who had an offspring with?" Like we overthought it,
yeah.
And like we're trying to, we're like grabbing for threads of crazy theories where she's just like, "Oh, he's related to Darth Vader, duh."
I just found it funny that I didn't even think about that. Like seeing the character.
That's what I'm saying. Like we're just like, it's so obvious that we didn't think of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it. That one she still gives me crap about to this day, and so I'm just like, what? Can you just drop it? That was 2015. It's like we gotta let the past die. Fun. Kill it if you have to.
That's a good way to end the Force Awakens discussion. Yep. Kill it if you have to.
Yep.
I'm just kidding. I do love the Force Awakens. So we might talk about it a little more next week, but I do want to talk about whether or not we believe Ben Solo. Kylo Ren can be redeemed as Ben Solo. Well, let's talk about that next week. Yeah. But we're going to end our episode with the weekly holocron, which is a segment that ends every episode where we basically just choose a character or a thing. You know, it could be a vehicle, a ship, a planet, anything really that we want to talk about. And we highlight that one thing at the end of the episode. So this week, we're going to be talking about everyone's favorite Celestin, Nine Nunb. Nien Nunb? I'm pretty sure it's Nine Nunb. But you pronounce it Nien Nunb. We're all entitled to our own pronunciations. I say Nine Nunb because there's a 10 Nunb. So I'm kind of like 9-10, you know. But regardless, he is a Celestin. He is known for being Lando Calrissian's co-pilot in Return of the Jedi. He has a very interesting face, to say the least. He's got very mousy like eyes, and he has these big flaps on his cheeks slash mouth. I guess he's kind of scary looking to me. When I was very little, when I was like 4 or 5, I was like, that thing is scary looking. But you know, he's a friendly guy. Apparently he was an arms dealer. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, especially with him being like with Lando in the Falcon in Return of the Jedi, that he would have some sort of ties with him. And it's cool to see him again in, you know, The Force Awakens, and he's a pilot for the Resistance, you know. So
he's still alive at the end of Last Jedi, right?
Yes, I think so. Akbar for sure.
No, Akbar's killed. Dead. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he died on the bridge.
Yeah. So he for sure is killed, but I'm pretty sure Nien Nunb is still alive. I don't think they ever showed him getting killed.
I think he's there at the end on the Falcon. Gotta double check, but I'm pretty sure he's there. I'm like 99% sure he's there.
I wonder what his lifespan is, because I mean, You know, I guess it could make sense if he was young in Return of the Jedi that he'd still be, you know, but a lot of the alien species I don't follow enough to know their chronology or anything like that.
Let's see. Doesn't it say says, anywhere on Wikipedia that I can
It says how tall he is, handily. But that's about it.
Yeah, he's pretty short, right?
Yeah, he's 1.6 meters, so you and your metrics.
I don't know what that is.
We didn't learn metrics, so.
But yeah, I mean, I'm going to guess he's got to be old now, right? I mean, it's been at least 30 years since Return of the Jedi, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting. See, that's the stuff that I like to talk about here on Hello There, is the lifespan of Celestians. How old is Dan Nubby? The lifespan of Celestians. So yes, that's been the Week of the Holocron. Let us know who your favorite Celestin is, if you know any other than Nine Nunb, which there are plenty of them. You can play as a Celestin in EA's Battlefront 1. So if you had your own character storyline that you developed in that game as a Celestin, let us know what his name was. And if you want to give us an impression, go for it. I want to learn how to do an impression of him, because that voice is so iconic. It's such an iconic voice. It's like, I can't even like think of how to do it. Like, I don't know how to go about it. Like, Chewie, you have an idea. It's like, you know generally where you're going. All right, we can actually end the episode on this. Your wife and my wife wanted us to have a Chewie off and see who has the better Chewie impression. So why don't we do that right now? And then we're going to judge each other, because that's, we don't have anyone else to judge it.
Yeah. It's just us.
See, the thing is with Chewie, I'm good at like quiet Chewie. Like I'm good at that Chewie. I'm not good at the loud Chewie.
Yeah, I'm not really either. I think mine's about in the middle too, but it was I will say, a little background, the discussion on this was, I don't remember what was shared, but both of our wives were trying to figure out which one of us was Han and which one of us was Chewie. And because I'm genuinely a hairy individual. I mean, it's not out of control, but I mean, anyway, so it's always been a joke of, oh yeah, I'm Chewbacca. And then your wife was like, no, he is. And I was like, I mean, do we need to have a hair off? Like what are we doing here? And then that's when she,
listen, I don't, okay. I would say I'm Han Solo, but not because I just want to be the cool guy. Because everyone's like, oh, you just want to be the cool pilot guy. I think I would be Han Solo because I'm just a smart aleck like Han Solo. And I yell a lot like Han. And I love Han's yell. Like, I'm so excited for Solo, because I want to see if Alden can get that yell that Harrison had. Like, no, that one goes there. That one goes there. Like that, like when he's yelling. Like deck officer. Like, I love the way that Harrison would yell as Han. I loved it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I am. So,
okay, you're putting me on the spot. Now I'm getting Wookie.
Yeah. See, I can't get the rasp. I can't get like the.
See, I can do the trill.
I can't really.
I can do the trill.
All right, let's end the episode.
Let us know who you thought had the better Chewie, and who you think is the Han.
Send
group.
Us a Chewie impression if you got one too.
Go ahead, yeah, we'll take them. Maybe we'll do a different. Maybe we'll do a topic about impressions and see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see. This has been episode 4 of Hello There, a Star Wars podcast. If you like what you heard, please go give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. That'd be a huge, huge, huge boost to us. Even one single 5-star rating would be a massive help. We would greatly appreciate it. If you do have any questions for us about anything we talked about, or if you have any suggestions for what we should talk about, or just really any thoughts in general about anything we touched on, you can hit us up. Again, we have an email you can reach us at, which is hellotherepodcast@gmail.com. You can DM us on Twitter individually. I'm at Anthony Palm, and Nate is at SYCSTIX17, which is 6Sticks17. Or we have our Twitter handle. Hey, look at that. It's Hello There Pod, at Hello There Pod. So yeah, anything you want to close out with?
Next week, stay tuned to next week's episode. I'll be giving my top 5 list going into Solo: A Star Wars Story. I also may end up giving my review on the book Last Shot. I'm about finished with it, so I should be finished by next week's episode. And
awesome. Can't wait to hear it.
I would love for you to listen to it, and maybe we can do some sort of spoiler cast, because it's a good piece of content.
I want to.
But see, if I can gift you a credit, I'll see if I can do that, because it's top. It's pretty damn good. It's really good.
We'll look into that. I'll see if I can get it myself. So keep an eye out for that. It's later in the month. I think it's two episodes from now, maybe even three. I'm bad at, like, mentally, like, I'm good with dates when I see them in front of me, you know, like, which sounds dumb, but we may hold the Solo episode by a day or two. Usually we release episodes on Mondays. We might hold it by a day or two because I got my Solo tickets, but I think I'm seeing it Sunday of opening weekend.
I'm either going to be seeing it Saturday or Sunday because my wife's brother is graduating on the 25th on Friday. So I may be with you instead.
On the quote-unquote real Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
Which is, if you don't know, that is the day that Star Wars launched. Not launched. Star Wars premiered in 1977 and set the world ablaze. Set the galaxy ablaze, rather. Sorry for the puns. So keep an eye out for that. Again, that might be a day or two later than we usually post, just because we want to talk about it that weekend. I don't think we want to hold a whole week off to talk about Solo: A Star Wars Story. So people can also find you. You have another podcast that you work on, which is Hope County Radio. So you guys are doing a spoiler cast for Far Cry 5 coming up, right?
Correct. Yeah, I thought about having you on there, but I feel like mine and my co-host opinions may differ from yours extensively.
Yeah, I did not like the ending of that game at all. So out of respect for you and Nick, I just don't want to come in and crap all over the game. So I respectfully will decline.
I'm interested to see where it goes, like in my own personal take of it. But yeah, if you want to check it out, we are going to be doing a spoiler cast of Far Cry 5 on Hope County Radio. That you can follow us on Twitter at Hope County Radio. You can also check us out on ThreatXReproductions.com. You can submit questions and things like that there. That episode should be coming out sometime Tuesday, I believe.
Which would be May. Around there. Yeah. And you can also find me on my other podcast, PS Best Friends. It's a Sony PlayStation focused podcast, but we do talk generally about all video games. So if you like video games, and especially if you're a Sony guy or girl, guy or gal, I like that, come check us out. That's every Tuesday. You can find us, PS Best Friends, on all podcast services and YouTube. And then we also have a bi-weekly podcast that on the same feed called Cocktail Hour. It's the co-hosts of that show, but we're kind of just, it's a little more laid back. We talk about other things than video games. So
talk about check wrestling that out. A lot.
Yeah, Miguel and I talk about wrestling a lot. So. So go check that out. And thank you all for listening. Again, this has been episode 4 of Hello There, a Star Wars podcast. May the Force be with you all.
So uncivilized.